B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, you don't all of a sudden galvanize when things are bad. You know, I think that that's a testament to these players and what we've tried to build here. You don't always say, oh, there's a storm. We better galvanize. You know, you stay tight throughout. And then, you know, you hope that, you know, the fundamentals and what you, you know, your core beliefs and core values, you know, can take over when things get difficult.
Vrabel after last night. So a couple things there. One of which scares me. Paul said the Pats are going to try and circle the wagons like the Titans have. You know, the Titans, again, sort of us against the world thing after last night. The players got goofy about, you know, didn't Tannehill have some stuff about all the stuff that was stacked against them and, you know, how unfair it was to them and, like, all this nonsense. But the Titans clearly used that. And Vrabel there talking about galvanizing. And the Pats are going to do the same thing. Like, they've been somehow wronged because Cam Newton went out and got COVID.
Well, they had to fly to Kansas City on the same day, don't you remember? Yeah, and they got a small locker room down there.
We're going to make the world pay for the small locker room, don't you know?
Well, but that all started because their players got COVID.
Well, let's not get caught up in details.
Like, if their players were being careful and not getting COVID, they wouldn't have to go through all that stuff.
And how dare you say that the quarterback and the cornerback, who both got the COVID, went out to dinner? You don't know.
They were spotted.
Yeah.
We'll get back to that.
Spotted.
We'll get back to that delicious. That delicious.
I like that one.
Delicious
spotted.
Little back and forth.
People reporting it that way are spotting.
I am confident that they did not get it at the facility. That the facility and Belichick and the team is taking every precaution, and I think they got it off campus, as most of these players have in all these sports. It's mostly off campus. It's certainly not on the field. That seems very, very rare. It feels like it's all off campus. So it started with Cam Newton. They put themselves in that position. How fraudulent is this if they're going to now circle the wagons against whatever, the league or negative commentary because their players went out and got COVID? Like, that would be insufferable. It is insufferable.
Oh, it will be. I guarantee you. It'll be more insufferable.
Be that as it may, Mike Vrabel and the Titans are using it, and they're even worse. Like, they're even more reckless. Like, apparently they weren't masking up inside. They weren't doing anything that they were supposed to be doing inside the facility.
Illegal practices.
Never mind the players going off and practicing on their own. Like, I mean, forget about, but they're going to now use that as some sort of like rallying cry.
Oh no, they've been maligned.
Oh, freaking insufferable. Seriously, maligned, insufferable. But maybe that is an indication that Vrabel got something from Belichick. And certainly I do think Vrabel got stuff from Belichick. He had to have. Vrabel's too smart, was here too long. Bill's too good for him not to have picked up some tricks and some stuff from Bill and is using it now. For sure. He's not in the Belichick coaching tree. Sorry.
No way. No. Because, again, first of all, you know, as you said, and to me, this is the big distinction. He wasn't brainwashed. Like, that's really the big one. You go back and you look at Patricia and, you know, even Mangini and McDaniels and whoever else, Joe Judge. You look at these guys, they all try to go in and be Bill. They all make the same mistake.
They don't know any other way. It's all they know.
But the only person who can be Bill and make it work is Bill. So there's certain, and I think McDaniels knows this now. Like, I think McDaniels has lived it long enough and recognizes it. The others I wonder about. Patricia?
Oh, God, no, he still doesn't get it. Look how he's still carrying himself now. When he should already be out on his ass. He's as defiant as ever.
I mean, he talks like, again, like he came up with all the defensive game plans and was responsible for Malcolm Butler.
I have one of the great plays in Super Bowl history, don't
oh
you?
Oh, my God, what a jackass.
He sucks.
Wow, what a jackass. Holy mackerel, really. So you just look at a guy like him and say, you don't get it, man. You don't get it.
I just think Vrabel, you know, he's a big Ohio State guy, so he has all of that culture in him, that, you know, cocky, football, you know.
He's like, the Ohio State like, University.
He's got that whole DNA in him. He was a Pittsburgh Steeler, which is a whole nother sort of, you know, very strong strain of DNA.
He's his own kind of red ass.
In him, right? And so then he's here and he absorbs all the Bill stuff. But at his heart, he's a Buckeye and a Steeler, and sort of wisecracking, big mouth, ball busting Vrabel. That's what he is. He's not a Bill Bobo.
Well, just remember that at the end, he basically was shipped out because he refused to kiss the ring, or he rebelled. Like, use whatever word you want. He had enough spine to look at it and go, this is, you know, let's not forget that we built this mall.
So last night to me was about him. I mean, Paul had mentioned the sloppiness from the Titans. You know, I didn't think there was that much. They had a hand. I think they had five penalties, but there was only one pre-snap penalty on offense, which is what, sort of where I go to. And he said, you know, Paul said as well that, you know, illegal shift lining up wrong is like the most, you know, unforgivable penalty. I think the Titans jumped off sides once. Other than that, clean. You know, there was all post-snap penalties, holdings, things like that, in you know, in the run of play. So they haven't been in their building hardly in 2 weeks. They haven't played since late September. I think they've had two practices in 16 days. And they show up on a Tuesday night and play a relatively clean football game. That's coaching. That's program. That's Vrabel. And that's like, that's what that was. Tannehill goes from just a guy, Joe freaking average, a 4.5 on a scale of 10 in Miami. We watched him every year, 10 years, same guy. All of a sudden he goes there and he's the highest quarterback, the highest rated quarterback in the league. He's got 9 touchdowns and 1 interception this year. All of a sudden he's a different guy. It's like, so what's that about? It's about coaching. It's about coaching. And I'm just sort of a big believer in it. It's not just the talent of the quarterback. He's got to be in the right spot. I don't care how great. I mean, look, the greats of the greats could probably go anywhere. Like, I think Peyton Manning could have been drafted anywhere. And he just happened to land with the Colts. And so that's what they became. I think Peyton Manning could have landed anywhere. But those are few and far between. I think for the most part, no matter how talented you are, if you land in some bad situation, you're porked. You're porked.
Were they right for not going after Brady? Because I think that they are. Like, I came away from that last night saying that Tannehill contract's justified. It is. I didn't think so.
It's a good point.
I need to see what happens at the end before I make that determination. I need to see how it plays out at the end. Because, again, you know, somewhere along the line, I think they're going to have to rely on the quarterback to win him a big game. And I don't mean, you know,
if he plays like that last night, he can do it.
I know, but it's one thing to be able to, you know, rely on a running back and play. And I say rely on the running back. There's the threat of Derrick Henry. If you put the whole thing on Tannehill's shoulders, can he handle it? My answer is no. I still believe no.
But there are, again, portions of last night's game where I looked up, I said, who the hell am I watching? Who is this? Because it was so good. The quarterback play on both sides was so good. I told you the one that stood out to me was the last drive of the second quarter for the Titans. Where, you know, Tannehill's first touchdown pass was a freaking dime. I just didn't realize he was capable of that kind of throw. But then you get to the end of the second quarter. The Titans are in firm command, 14-10. The Buffalo kicker, the punter, who can't get the laces right to save his life on the holds, is Borekas, keeps giving the kicker the laces. But as a punter, he's freaking a weapon. He booms a 70-yard punt, flips the field, pins the Titans back at their 10-yard line. Okay, so now the Titans are at their 10-yard line. They're up 14-10. There's 2:55 left in the second quarter. My entire life of watching Ryan Tannehill, the coach hands off a couple times, burns the clock, and runs into the locker room, up 14-10. Let's take our money and get out. You know, let's take our chips off the table and get the hell out of here. I'm not exposing Ryan Tannehill. Not last night. 12 plays, 90 yards, touchdown, finger roll, into the end zone. Like, who the hell is this?
No, that thing was a clinic.
Ryan Tannehill.
That was a clinic, that drive.
Vrabel's turned Ryan Tannehill into a player. So coaching. And this does, you know, I'm big on this because Newton and Belichick and Brady and Belichick and Arians, it ties all in. I think it's hugely important. And I'm not telling you that Mike Vrabel is Bill Belichick, but it just matters. It matters. When you get drafted into the NFL world and your coach is Joe Philbin and your offensive coordinator is Mike effing Sherman, who is much better suited to coaching Nauset High, which is where I think he ended up, Nauset Regional. Isn't that where he ended up? Somewhere in Buzzards Bay, coaching high school? Right. I think he did. That's what you get brought into the NFL world as your coaches? And then when they decide to move on from Joe Philbin, they bring in Dan Campbell?
Yeah, bro coach.
The bro coach?
It's invaluable, man. Invaluable.
It's like, you're port. And then your bright idea to save you from Joe Philbin and Dan Campbell is then Adam Gase?
Yep, Adam Gase.
That's who Ryan Tannehill had in Miami. Joe Philbin, Dan Campbell, Adam Gase.
So he was at Nauset in 2015 and 2016, and he was with the Montreal Alouettes last year.
That's worse.
The CFL.
Seriously. Invaluable, man.
That's invaluable, Dan.
Seriously, that's worse. He had to go to Canada. God, that's horrible. He'd been better off at Nauset. Probably pays more, too.
All I wanted to see is guys come out and compete and violently compete, and I felt that today.
This guy's like, he might as well be an MMA fighter, that guy.
Well, I'm not telling these guys to go out and start throwing punches, but hey, if guys get a little bit heated and they get after it a little bit, you may have some of those.
Okay, so Ryan Tannehill's coaches in Miami are Joe Philbin, Dan Campbell, Adam Gase.
When you have pads on, you have to make the very most of that day.
Well, his offensive coordinators are Mike Sherman, Bill Labor, Zach Taylor, who I think is this, again, head coach in Cincinnati, Kyle Christensen, and something named Doel Logans. Logans? L-O-G-A-I-N-S?
Yes.
Who the hell is that?
Logans.
Yes.
So it's like, I mean, coaching matters.
It's invaluable, man.
It's mano a mano.
He's still kicking around. I think he's in New Orleans.
Who, Dan Campbell?
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on.
Strength
sorry,
and conditioning guy.
So I would also tell you, though, that I think it applies to Josh Allen, who, if he keeps improving, watch out. This guy's going to be a stud.
Dude, it's invaluable,
thank
man.
You, Dan. If he keeps improving. I can't, you know, this McDermott seems like a decent coach.
Yes.
Thank you. Brian Daboll. You know, he's got the Bill thing, so he knows he knows what he's feels like they're on the right track there.
Yes.
But then again, they get in that spot last night, and guys are dropping balls, 10 penalties for the Bills. The Bills show up in a game where they really should have had it on Tennessee last night.
Yes.
Tennessee, again, all that time away from the building, no practice time. Buffalo comes in, 10 penalties, 2 fumbles, lose 1, 2 interceptions. It's like same old Bills. So I don't know if Ryan Allen can overcome that.
Yes.
But he had some plays last night, too. I said, holy crap. What happened to this guy?
That guy's an athlete. And you know what? He's developing touch. He's developing accuracy. He's been pretty. Again, last night was his worst game, 64% or something like that.
He might already be the second best AFC East quarterback in the last 20 years.
Yeah, maybe he might be.
I mean, you tell me someone better. Sanchez never played at this level. They won, but he never, as a singly as a quarterback, played at this level. But name me another AFC East quarterback that's played at this level.
No, because basing it on just this first month, people saying he would be an MVP candidate.
I don't know.
That never happened to any other quarterback in the last 20 years in the AFC East.
Haven't said that about any AFC East quarterback in 20 years. I mean,
they haven't.
I'm trying to think right now.
Think of it.
I was good. I mean, if it's not Allen, it might be Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Okay, do they ever say MVP?
Pathetic.
No,
God, no.
Okay, so anyway, I promise I see you lined up. Your thoughts at 617-779-0985 right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Allen firing downfield. Intercepted Butler at the 20. Butler 30. He's back to the 40. 45-50. 45-40. 35-30. Cut back 25-20. 15. And Allen finally tackles him inside. The 15. The Butler did it!
Meanwhile, I had almost forgotten about him.
Well, he was injured all last year, right?
I was going to say, I don't know that he was still on the team. I thought he was released last year. Wasn't playing last year, that's for sure. So anyway, thoughts on last night, what it means, going forward, all of that. 617-779-0985. You can hit on anything else we have from the rest of the day as well. Had some basketball items. Did a little Bruins minute. Hit on Jose Altuve. Karma coming back to bite the cheater. Now he can't complete a throw 10 feet. Can't throw it to first or second base anymore.
Unbelievable.
Okay, so your thoughts. Our buddies Tom's in Quincy. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I caught the tail end of what you're talking about, so I apologize if I'm going to repeat anything you said. But this coaching tree discussion fascinates me all the time. Because when the names that come up, I laugh to myself when you talk about Mangini and stuff like that. I'm sorry. None of the guys in the past compare to Judge and Patricia. Judge, by default, is the biggest tool that I've ever seen in professional sports. But this year, Judge and Patricia, 1-8 and a negative 80-point differential, right? They're like 0-4 at home. They can't do anything right. I remember when Judge got hired, and the first thing they did as the Giants organization hired Jason Garrett. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Like, they legit might go 0-16. That was before they started playing this year. That was just based on the decisions they made. They both suck so bad it is not even funny. He looked like Mancini. He looked like Bill Walsh.
Oh, not just Jason Garrett, but Freddie Kitchens, too.
Oh, right. I forgot
Freddie
about that.
Kitchens.
Matt Patricia, in his 3 years in Detroit, is 10-25-1. And one of his wins was against you.
And he thinks he's good.
And the Joe Judge thing, I'm so glad he brought this up because I thought we were going to touch on this at some point this week. Did you see that, the touchdowns they gave away in the Dallas game?
No.
Oh, you didn't see this?
So
they faked a field goal and threw a touchdown pass, except the left tackle wasn't set. And they had to call it back. And you know who left tackle was?
No, Solder?
Cameron Fleming.
Oh, amazing.
Two of the biggest bums to ever be with the Patriots. Joe Judge and Cameron Fleming. Oh, my God. It was priceless. They kept shooting themselves in the foot.
So, like, guys like Patricia, Judge, McDaniels, Mangini, those are guys that were, I think their first jobs were with Bill,
sure,
and never left Bill. And, you know, and I know McDaniels did go out for a little bit, but it's like, those are all Bill. Then there's Vrabel, who had a life before and after. And you would say Bill O'Brien, too, was sort of his own guy. He's fallen on his face, but sort of in a different way. Like, I don't think he falls on his face in the Bill Belichick, you know, like in the true Bill Belichick tree fashion. Because, you know,
he lasted longer than most.
He did last longer than most. He's sort of a tweener. You know, he was just a college coach. His first pro job was here in New England. So it's not like he had any other NFL experience, but he did have college experience. And so, and he also had a different personality. So he's not quite like the Bill Bobo automaton, but oh, please, Patricia, Mangini. And we got to see on McDaniels. Like, those are the guys to worry about.
I'll tell you what, I want to keep an eye too. Like, we got to expand the tree. Maybe make it a little garden. Look at the executives too, who've worked under Bill.
Scary.
Like, some of those guys, one of them's in Detroit with Patricia, right?
Dan Quinn.
Okay, Dimitroff just got fired in Atlanta.
Sure did.
That thing was a complete train wreck. You know, Pioli did okay for a little while in Kansas City, but that one blew up.
A little bit. That's it.
I mean, you know, really, you go, and the one guy in Tampa Bay, too, right?
So is it John Robinson who's in Tennessee right now?
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah, he's done okay.
So Robinson, Vrabel, you know, is your only hope. If you want Bill to have success on his tree, that's it. Our buddy Tommy's in Lynn. Hi, Tommy.
It's more like a plant.
What's up, Falga?
How you doing, Tommy?
Maz and Murray. I have a Patriots moment. What you guys' input on the game? Because I think they're going to beat Denver.
Okay, so that's your moment. How are they going to beat them, Tommy?
We're going to score a lot of touchdowns, and Cam Newton's going to have a good day. And Gilmore's going to get a couple interceptions.
Okay, Tommy, because they got something to prove. They're going to circle the wagons now.
I agree with all that, and it's going to be boring.
Anyone without Tom Brady's interesting to me, Murray. Just got to tell you that.
This one feels like a 24-3 game.
But I do wonder if, like, and Paul, you know, gave us a hint. They're going to circle the wagons and, like, us against them. So, like, Newton and Gilmore are now going to have the ass?
Well, they all will because they've been wronged. But especially those two because, you know, how dare you say they went out to dinner.
Did the NFL inject you with COVID or did you go get it yourself?
No, they got it themselves. But
let's not get into details.
Yeah, so who are you mad at?
No, let's not get caught up in the particulars. The fact is they're taking heat down there. It doesn't matter why.
So, again, they're upset that the league made him go out and play Kansas City that day.
Mm-hmm.
Would we have been upset if Pat Mahomes was on the COVID list and Cam Newton was playing? Or would we say, wheels up, let's get out there and play this ball game?
Wheels up.
Yeah. All right, so.
Got a game to play.
I mean, why do we keep leaving that one out? Cam and Taunton on our Bruins conversation. Go ahead, Cam.
Oh, my God. Just like, this is so freaking frustrating. I mean, the core thing, I mean, those numbers you read, Mike, blew me the hell away.
They're scary.
This team has been.
I mean, you're colossal choke artists, and you keep bringing a freaking team back. I said this after they lost to Tampa. You're the Capitals with an early breakthrough. That's what you are. But, like, what are you doing? Like, are you going for one more run, or are you starting over? Like, can you make a decision, please? This management, I mean, and look, overall, Sweeney's done a good job. The start was a disaster, but it's gotten better since then. But, like, pick a direction and stick to it, please, for God's sakes. You have a chance to go for one more run, which I don't know if you really have the talent to do or not, but if you do, go all in or start over.
Right.
Trade the guys and let's go. Like, pick a direction.
They're middling it. I don't know if you heard this before, but I decided to look it up because, you know, this core that's still here, Chara, Bergeron, Krejci, Marchand, Rask, you know, the group that was here for the last Stanley Cup. And Rask, you know, obviously didn't win it in 2011, but he was the starter the year before and the starter 2 years after. So he's part of this group. And we know they've been here a while and they've stuck with these guys. Do you realize how long they've stuck with these guys? If Chara comes back, it'll be his 15th year. When Bergeron comes back next year, it'll be his 17th year.
Unreal.
It'll be Krejci's 15th year next year. 15! It'll be Rask's 12th year. I'm sorry, 14th year. Rask will be year 14, and Marchand will be year 12.
I mean, the Rask thing, too, the ones that surprised me the most are Rask and Marchand. Rask is 14 years. It doesn't feel that long.
I mean, football has a shorter lifespan, but I would say for the three other sports, if you're talking about a core group and a run, you're talking, you know, a decade at the most. You're probably talking like 8 years would be a guess, you know.
Sure.
My median, you know, a guy comes into his prime, just, again, you know, roughing it in his mid-20s, and by the time he hits his early to mid-30s, it's over. So, like, your run conceivable, most teams, it's like 8 years in that range. 15, 17, 15, 12, and 14 for these guys, and you've only won once?
Right, and we're now in a free agency, you know, era. Like, but the point is the rosters change constantly everywhere.
Holy smokes. How about a little movement there is just sort of my thought. Or add to it. And let's go one more time in year 17 for Patrice Bergeron.
I'd let Chara go. That's the one I'd cut bait with. I'd cut bait there. Because I think there's a roadblock there for McAvoy, too. As long as Chara's around, McAvoy's never going to become the leader of the D-Core.
Chara, Krejci, Rask, some combination. It's time to, you know, if you had won 4 or 5 cups, like, I get it. You won once.
But, Mike, Chara should be easy. Chara should be easy.
Well, maybe he is. They haven't signed him. He's
okay,
still sitting there.
So, but that the other two, at least you look at it and you say, well, they're high salaries. They're probably hard to move in a COVID offseason. At least I can justify it that way.
Listen, enough of this piddling little stuff. Can we get to something that's really important?
Dinner.
Did Gilmore and Newton have dinner out, or were they just spotted? And because Adam Schefter only said it on the radio and not on ESPN, does that mean he's once again making it up? Can we get to the important stuff, please? The latest on this story after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There was a report, I believe, from Adam Schefter who said that Stefan had had dinner with Cam Newton on Friday night. Was the team aware of that before the trip to KC?
Yeah, again, all the information and everything that involved the testing and, you know, contact and everything else. You know, all the information that we had, we, you know, processed through, again, medical people on our end, medical people in the league, and followed the protocols. I feel like we did everything that we could control. I think we did everything properly. With the extra planes, the extra buses, the same-day travel, et cetera, there's, you know, multiple things we could list there. So in terms of a lot of individual specific questions, I'd say all those get thrown into the, you know, general medical field.
So again, this story's back. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. So it was Bill a week ago being asked about Adam Schefter's report on Philadelphia radio that Newton and Gilmore had dinner the Friday before the team flew out to Kansas City, the night that Newton tested positive for COVID, a couple days before Gilmore tested positive for COVID, okay? Bill wouldn't really answer the question. All he would say is, all the info we have, we processed through the league, followed all the proper channels, all the exact protocols, which I think was a tacit admission that, yes, they had dinner. We knew about it. We reported it. We did everything we were asked to do.
I mean, again, that's how I take it. He just said, you know, I don't know where you guys come up with this crap. And I'm not sure he even would have said that, but he would have given us something different. So they had dinner. They had dinner.
There's tremendous pushback with that, though, Maz, especially after Stephon Gilmore's wife yesterday, as you guys pointed out to me. And what's her name? I don't want to.
Gabrielle Gilmore.
Gabrielle Gilmore tweeted out, there was no dinner out, she tweeted.
She Gilly.
What?
Nothing go. Nothing go. Never mind. Just go.
She tweeted out.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, there was no dinner out, she tweeted. I'm going to help you out so you guys stop reporting false news. Okay?
Yeah.
So Schefter then goes on EEI this morning.
Yeah.
And stands by his report. So we have a second to play the sound, but I'll read you the account here from Mike Hurley, CBS Boston Sports, who we love to death. Former colleague of ours.
Yeah, the twerp.
Love, respect, and I mean it like from the bottom of my heart. But he does embody the defensive, bitchy, baby Patriot fan. Like, he is your standard bearer.
Oh, he's their king.
He is the guy, right?
Emperor Hurley. Seriously. he is the head of the kingdom, for crying out loud. Next time I see him, I'm going to pull the hair out of his head one at a time.
Yeah, for how you live for this on your side and this side, the side of, you know, correctness, Mike. You have Mike, you know, leading the other side.
That's Hurley is the grand poobah of the bitchy defensive Patriot fan.
Emperor Hurley.
He writes, headline, Adam Schefter refutes Stephon Gilmore's wife, stands by report of Gilmore-Newton dinner. He says, ladies and gentlemen, we have got ourselves a good old-fashioned source-off. On one side, you've got the most plugged-in NFL reporter in the world, Schefter. In the other corner, it's Gabrielle Gilmore, the wife of the Patriots star corner. One of those contenders knows Gilmore rather well. Ugh. So now we get the snark.
And she would cover for him.
So one of those contenders knows Gilmore rather well, he says. The other might not know him at all. But that's not stopping him from standing by his report that Stephon ate dinner with Cam Newton on Friday, the night before the scheduled Kansas City game, even though Gabrielle says it did not happen. Quote, Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore had dinner Friday night, Schefter said on EEI on Wednesday morning, meaning this morning. I don't know where they ate, but they had dinner together Friday night, end quote. Hurley writes that Schefter relented on the quote-unquote out-to-dinner portion of his report.
Relented.
While also taking issue with his report being called a quote-unquote report at all.
Take it back.
he relented.
Schefter never said that they went out. He never used the word out. We have the actual original Zapruder, tape. We have the actual original Schefter in Philadelphia tape. Play it, Jimmy.
I happen to believe, I was told that in the New England area over the weekend that Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore were spotted having dinner together on Friday night. So, and I was aware of that over the weekend. So to hear that he tested positive, I got to be honest, is not overly surprising to me. You know, if you're at a dinner table with somebody who's got the virus, you know, there's a chance I would think that you're going to get the virus. And so that's what we're dealing with this morning. We're dealing with, I think it's a crisis.
Okay, not quite a crisis, but anywhere did he use the word out? Did I hear out in there?
No.
Never once said out.
Happen to believe. You either believe it or you don't.
And he said spotted.
He didn't say out.
Which means they were seen by somebody.
Okay, see, Hurley, I will go. You know me, Hurley. I'll get that Wells report and pull out the highlighter, and I will go page by page with you, bro. Picked on the wrong talk show host here to have this sort of back and forth, buddy boy.
Yeah, the GilmoreGuide.com.
Hurley writes, Schefter relented on the out-to-dinner portion of his report. He never said they were out to dinner.
He relented, though.
Quote, I was doing a radio show, said Schefter this morning. I don't remember the specific language that I said. I thought I said that they had dinner together. Maybe I said they were out to dinner. I don't remember. Okay? The semantics, again, because I don't know exactly where they had dinner, to be perfectly frank, but I don't believe it was out to dinner, like out in Boston, right? But they had dinner together on Friday, period, end quote.
Yeah, Felga, he's lying. He's recanting.
So, like the Patriots' babies have gotten Schefter apologizing for something he didn't even say.
Correct.
Right. He never said they were out.
Correct. No, not the babies. The emperor of the babies.
It's like he's saying semantics, which is exactly right. Yeah, they had did I say out? I don't know what. They had dinner together. I don't know where. Which is exactly how he presented it in that original Philadelphia thing.
Yeah, no. But allegedly he recanted. relented. He relented. When I see Hurley, I'm going to rip his eyebrows off.
No. So
when he started catching heat for this, too, he must have been like, why are these people here mad about an interview I did in Philadelphia? What's wrong with these lunatics?
To me, it's an important item. It's fine. But he never said they were out to dinner.
No, he just said that they were spotted.
Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore were spotted having dinner together.
Spotted.
So, okay, but Hurley's pouncing. Schefter noted during his EEI interview that he was not certain whether the dinner happened out or in public or in one of Gilmore's or Newton's homes.
Gilmore.
However, says Hurley, his initial report in Philadelphia indicated that the two players were, quote unquote, spotted having dinner together, an indication, Maz, that the duo must have been in public for their meal in order to have been seen.
Yes, spotted.
So you have to be in public to have been spotted, according to Hurley. Is that technically true?
No.
What if you cater a dinner?
Correct.
What if you have a restaurant bring a dinner to you? What if you're in a private room that isn't like really out, but you're privately dining and it's brought to you and someone who's catering the meal, bringing you the meal, serving you the meal, spots you? Does that qualify?
Yeah, Felga, what I think happened is they were having dinner at Newton's and Schefter heard in Newton. Thought it was in Newton.
Hurley also says that the fact there's been no social media post is also suspicious.
Ugh.
He says, surely if either one shared a photo on social media of a private at-home meal, everyone would have seen it by now.
I'd like to think that those two, if they were out having dinner, weren't at a place where every classless moron would be pulling out their phone, taking photos or videos of them.
So good. I love this.
Hurley's become a little dink. I like it.
Gabriel used the word out. Gabriel's use of the word out at least leaves open the door that a dinner was shared, just not in public, as it had been interpreted from Schefter's reporting.
Correct.
This is a deep dive. Let's see. I was told that in the New England area over the weekend. Okay, so that's his original quote. So Schefter's got a backpedal on something. I don't get why he has to be backpedaling. He says, well, I have great respect for Stephon Gilmore and Mrs. Gilmore. I'm not looking to refute anybody, Schefter said. He's like, they weren't out to dinner, but I'm just going to say that, and I don't know why that is an issue. Like, Cam Newton tested positive early Saturday morning, the night before Stephon Gilmore and Cam Newton had dinner. That's all. They didn't do anything wrong. There is nothing to that. They had dinner. What's the problem? Like, you can eat dinner with somebody that later tests positive. It's nobody's fault. But they did have dinner Friday night. It wasn't reported. I was basically on another radio station when it came up, and at that moment, it came up at the point that Stephon Gilmore had just tested positive or was placed on the list, whatever it was. And I was asked about it, and I said, well, that's interesting. They did have dinner with Cam on Friday night. So it wasn't a report. It wasn't anything. It was just a fact. That's all it is.
I have great respect for Stephon Gilmore and Mrs. Gilmore.
I wish he ended that quote by saying, what is wrong with you effing babies?
Seriously.
I'm not trying to upset anyone. I'm not trying to point any fingers. Not making any accusations. They had dinner Friday night. What's the big deal, said Schefter.
Yeah, I have no respect for Roger Goodell nor Mrs. Goodell.
I read otherwise at viralload.com.
Oh, he says, what's the big deal? Hurley immediately writes, the big deal, of course, is that Gilmore dining with a teammate has been turned into a case of both Gilmore and Newton not strictly abiding by all COVID-19 protocols.
True.
Which makes for a good target for fans and media members who want to blame people for contracting a virus during a pandemic.
Unless you're a media rump swap.
Whether that judgment is fair or unfair is up to the individual. But having two star athletes on the same team testing positive will always bring about a certain level of attention. In the meanwhile, most people would be interested to know the precise truth rather than have some well-placed scuttlebutt.
In the meanwhile? Who the hell wrote that? How about just meanwhile? How about two useless words, in the meanwhile? Who's his editor? Holy crap, does that blow. Wow.
Is it important that they had dinner either or not on Friday night?
Yes, it's a piece of news. Yes, it is.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
It's newsworthy. Because of COVID, it's newsworthy.
Well, no, so listen, if we're going to report on all these, and I did get an email, I mean, to be fair. When Schefter said that, we played the report overall, I did assume they were out. Like, it just is sort of said that
way.
Yeah,
right.
He just never said it. You know, David writes in, two beefs with Felger. Dearest Felger, Listen to yourself talking crap about the fact Schefter never said the word out to dinner. Who cares if he said that exactly or not? That's how it was spun by everybody, including you. So stop saying he never said they were out. Where's that coming from? You guys have been talking since this started about how stupid Gilmore and Newton were for sitting in a restaurant during a pandemic and blah, blah, blah.
True.
You've been saying that this whole time.
Yes.
So you can't get on other people for thinking that's what Schefter meant. So quit being a douche.
I'll get on whoever I want to get on.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's a fair point, David. I did think that that's what Schefter meant.
So did I.
But he didn't.
No. He never said the word out.
Turns out he never said the word out.
Yes.
And which we have detailed in exacting fashion, thanks to Hurley.
Yes. And Gabrielle Gilmore has also taken to Twitter because she did say that, you know, it's not true that they were never out. Apparently some people reached out to her and said, well, now what about this? You know, there's this thing from Schefter, and she said, I'm not going back and forth with anybody.
That's too bad.
I said what I said.
She originally promised us that she's going to help you out so you guys can stop reporting false news.
Correct.
See, we don't want to run around with our... God forbid, Gabrielle, the last thing we want to do... I'm not attacking her. She seems like a perfectly nice lady.
No, I'm not joking. She actually seems like a sweetheart.
She's kind of cool. Like, I don't feel like I'm getting... she doesn't have that snarky thing that I get from
Penelope.
The Anna Horford thing.
I just think, you know, she was going to tell it like it is. There was no dinner out. I'm going to help you guys out, so stop reporting fault. So I thought she was going to help us out.
I kind of like Anna Horford, but I do like Gabrielle, too.
So tell us where they're at, what was going on. We'll stop reporting fake news, because God forbid, the last thing we want to do, Gabrielle, is speculate or, you know, cast aspersions or be cynical. Like, we don't want to do that.
I do.
Jimmy, you tweeted her yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah, she didn't respond to me.
Tweeter 617-779-0985. See if she gets it.
Maybe I should just see if I can DM her and be like, were they at this restaurant or no?
I kind of like her.
Or should I just call the restaurant and see if they have any information?
It's Hurley. I can't stand.
They had to postpone games, cancel the schedule. 8 other teams, 8 other weeks turned on its ear because your players caught COVID. It's okay to ask how they got it. Because I don't think they got it on campus. I do believe the team is being super careful. So how did they contract it? Were they being careful? Were they being responsible? This is why we asked the question. The team does not allow the players to eat together in the facility. They have to sit 10 feet apart if they are dining at Gillette. They don't let them sit together and eat. So if they then leave the building and sit together and eat, whether it is out or in or wherever.
And regardless of whether they're spotted.
It sort of defeats the purpose of them going through the protocols during the day if they go home at night and then do something different. So that, to me, is kind of relevant. So I enjoy this. I'm looking for more. I hope Gabrielle does not, you know, I'm looking for a little back and forth.
I hope Hurley writes again tomorrow. I want Hurley to write again. That way I can show up and shave his knuckles.
I miss the little bugger. All right, that's that. Meanwhile, the final word comes your way next.
Houston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody. Nope.
All right, Maz had an analogy today that...
I love it. I
like it, but it had a bit of a bumpy landing, I feel like.
Well, it's not necessary. You want my conspiracy theory?
Yeah, yeah.
I hate to go all Colin Coward on you. Lady Macbeth. Lady Macbeth washing her hands in the middle of the night, washing the blood off her hands in the middle of the night. Only there was no blood on her hands.
So you
know
really,
why?
You really have to explain that to our audience.
Okay, I'm gonna get there. You're gonna give me a minute. Be a little patient. Okay, let me tell you what it is.
What are most of our listeners out there saying, Murray?
Huh?
Yeah. Lady Hope?
Yeah. Was she in Playboy?
Is she hot?
Yeah. Who's Lady Macbeth? Is she hot? Is she good looking? Is she an Instagram model?
Is that the Macbeth chick from Saugus?
Yeah. What was that blood from? I bet I can guess.
So Lady Macbeth. Okay, this is an old Shakespeare reference. I'm sorry. But the bottom line is guilty conscience. Guilty conscience. She and her husband conspired to have someone killed so he could rise to the throne. And she couldn't live with the consequences. Could it be that Mr. Buzzer on his chest, wearing it under his uniform, cheating his ass off in the playoffs, now they're in the postseason again, and he's got the yips because he's got a guilty conscience? I know. It's a cockamamie crazy theory.
I'm in.
I like it.
Sign me up.
Yeah. Just got to tell me who the hell Lady Macbeth is.
Yeah.
Get thee off your hands. Or something like that. It was imaginary blood. She went crazy and killed herself.
Tufts over here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.